You mentioned your mother, Polly. What was her maiden name?
Butler. You know, I told you my grandfather was named Isaac Butler.
Mm-hmm.
And she was his daughter.
Tell me about Polly. Aunt Polly, we used to call her.
Yeah, well, my mother, I don't know that much about her, except I just know she was my mother and her name was Polly. And I knew your grandmother just thought Aunt Polly was just something. And there was a lady died, a white lady died, and the funeral was at the same time. And Miss Smith said, oh, but I'm going to Aunt Polly's. I'm got to go to Aunt Polly's. And that was Miss Shalette. I'm got to go to Aunt Polly's. My mother used to, of course, do domestic work, wash and iron and do all those things. And they were just,
Did your mother work for Miss Smith?
No, she washed for Miss Smith. My mother never worked away from the house, you know.
So your mother did all the washing at her own house?
Oh, no, she'd go down there and do it.
Uh-huh.
But she did washing at her own house, but she'd go down there and do it. You know, I can go right to those places in that, I forgot that house was there, but it's still there. I wonder who owns it.
A fraternity.
Huh?
One of the university fraternities
owns
the
house. Oh,
they do. Well, you also told me that for a while you lived on the Smith property out here.
Huh?
You also told me that for a while you lived on the Smith property out this way.
This was Cochran's property then, but it was, of course, it was Miss Smith. We moved, when we first moved, we moved on to Cochran's property.
Tell me about them. Do you remember the Cochrans very well?
Yes, I remember now. I'm going to tell you, I was young, but I remember Mr. Cochran. That was your grandfather. I guess that was your grandfather, because it's your great-grandfather. And Miss Cochran, your grandmother lived right up the road, and they had to come through our yard from the Cochrans up there. There was a house. It was a Cochran's house. And she would stop and rest. And I told her she had this black dog, a great big dog, and his name was Jip. And Jip used to be, we used to see Miss Cochran coming and going up to your grandmother's house with Jip. And down there was a railroad then. The trains ran there. And she had to go a little piece up the railroad and turn off and go up to Miss Smith's house. And we used to wander, but Jip was right along with her, just like a person.
Where was the Cochran house?
It's up there above the schoolhouse.
The Morrison School.
Huh?
Up near the Morrison School?
No, up there, right there. But they say that's the Morrison Band-Aid. I didn't know what it was, but I knew it was a school. And the school was on, all of that belonged to the Cochrans. Then, you see. But since then, it's been turned from hands to hands. But I don't think they bought that place from the conference, because I think somebody else had owned it then. But that's, the schoolhouse is on conference property. It was conference property.
And where is the house where you lived with the Smith property?
What's that?
When you lived on the Smith's property,
we
where
didn't
was
live
that?
On the Smith property.
It was only on the Cochran.
Just only on the Cochran. We lived on the Cochran's property. Oh, in my life here. They began, you know, Negroes began to buy. And so, and you know what? If they had any money, could have bought things. Things were so much cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
So much cheaper.
Well, I gather a lot of the black community were able to buy their own land and
yeah,
houses.
Well, I think it was because the university was here, don't you see? Don't you know? You know where there's education, it makes difference. And I think it was because, and then, you see, they could work there and make a little money, don't you see? there wasn't any industrial down south, but nothing but farming, you know, until the mills began to come south and all these things. And they said there was a few cotton mills.
But the college was the major source of employment.
Yes, it was for this community. And it still has been, it still is, as far as that's concerned. Now, my two sons worked at the college until they retired. And you see, back then, you had no Social Security when they came along, and no retirement or nothing, don't you see? But now it's so different, because they get Social Security, and my son, both sons get retirements too, you see. You know, from the time they put in, my oldest son said he put in 50 years at the university. And then my another son, I don't know how long, but both of them retired at the same time, because I went to the parties when they retired them. And the professor said to me, he said, well, you got two retired. And I said, I sure have. But that was a big help to them, don't you see, the college. And Clemson saw that. Did you know his home was in Pennsylvania?
Yes, in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I know. And you see, he married John C. Zoll. And all that plantation was in debt, you know. I tell you, as the South was ruined after the war, they didn't have nothing. And so that's just the way it is.
What did your sons do for the university?
Well, one of my sons was chef cook of a good wife. And the other son, he worked inside. Looked after cleaning up the boys' the halls and things. Things like that. That's what they did.
Do you have any idea how much they made?
I really don't, but nothing that extra. I don't think I don't know how much they made, but since things have changed. Then Jack, in the last, he made a good, you know, right, they made like good later years, just by the time they got ready to retire.
Well, the son who worked at the dining hall must have worked with Mr. Harcum.
Huh?
Your son who worked at the dining hall must have worked with Mr. Harcum.
He did. Both of my sons, you see, Harcum took over with his small self. He took over lots of the things, like the laundry and like this, the halls, they called it. And so both of them worked for him. How'd you know about Harcum?
I've read about him in the college records.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Well, let's go back to when you were young. Where did you go to school?
I told you, right from Abel Church across the street, they had a little, at first they didn't have any school at all, except they taught us in the church. But later, they fixed us, this slabbed up something, you know, without any glass windows or anything, across the street. And that's where I was going to school when they decided to flip this thing in different things, you see. We were down here, and they decided that we had to have a school down here. But I was going to school, that's where we walked from here. We were living here down in Calhoun, but we walked up there to school. But when they decided, what did they call it? The districts decided that we were out of that district, and we had to stop, and we rented an old house And that's where we went. The old house is torn down now. Where we, and until later, we built a schoolhouse. The Negroes built them a schoolhouse. And it was right down onto this hill. Well, we bought a little piece of land. Well, I don't think it was but about a quarter of an acre, something like that. And we built a little schoolhouse where we still went to school. And then after a while, they decided that they wanted a better thing, and we built a schoolhouse. Now, we built these things ourselves, just like we built that bridge. But, of course, right now, the highway has taken, you know, that was the railroad, you know. And we wanted to go across there, and so we built a bridge. But, of course, when after we had it there, now, when the highway come, they took it and fixed it, you know. And we are glad about that. And we had another little schoolhouse next to the church over there. And the church bought that back from the college. We built it, but we had to buy it back.
So in each of these, you had to buy it yourself and then build it.
Yes, we certainly did. And we didn't have anything. We had to go to and build the church, because we had no church. And we decided, I am the only charter member in my church, because I went with them when we went to organize it. And we went to organize it in that little schoolhouse that we had built right down there on the hill. And we scuffled, and now we got there.
You have a very attractive church now.
How?
You have a very attractive church now.
Oh, thank you. Well, we think so.
But when you went to school, do you remember any of your teachers?
Eric Dupree is the only teacher I remember when I was younger at Abel. He was teaching there. And when we come down here, we had a teacher named, I've forgotten what the, we had a teacher named Elle Williams. I think she was the first person that taught down here. But the other later on, and then you see, then I began to get older, and then I had to go to work, you see. But we had those things, but we were still worked on.
How many grades were there at your school?
Oh, we didn't have anything like grades. We had one room about this size, and everything was taught in here.
How many years did you go to school?
I know we didn't get 6 years, 6 months a year, because we had it divided. You see, the children was on farms, and they had to go to work, you see. And then when they went to school, just like now, while the crops was all laid by, as they called it, and they had about 2 months in this heat to go to school.
That must have been unpleasant.
Oh, it was. It was as unpleasant as it could be. And everything was the whole thing was. But we survived some way.
How many years did you go to school?
Well, from 6 years... When we were 6 years old, you see, we went to school. So my mother and them saw that. They saw that we went just whenever, when we could. And I don't know. But anyway, I traveled a good much. I was telling this friend over there, I don't think any poor person had done. And that is education for you, you see, when you go around. And I did.
What kind of textbooks did you have at school?
Now, that was, I don't know. You ever hear tell of a book called A Blue-Black Speller?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was the only, they just had one or two. You know, I'd like to see one of those blue blacks. I couldn't see it now, but I used to hear my brother say you could get anything you wanted.
Did you have to buy your own books?
Oh, yes. And that was another hindrance. The people didn't have the money, but they did the best they could, don't you see?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. South Carolina had never furnished books. Now, Georgia, when I went to live in Georgia, Georgia furnishes books for public school. But the South Carolina never did furnish books.
Could your parents or your grandparents read or write?
No. My grandmother couldn't count but 12. That was my mother's mother. But I'm going to tell you, she had more sense than these people now. Because she had moral sense, and they don't have it now.
Well, your father, Butler Reed, had a store.
Oh,
was
yes,
he able to read and write?
But my grandfather, I tell you, my mother said he went to school after he was a grown man. You see, he just wanted to, I think he was smart anyhow, and then he just...
Do you have any idea where he went to school?
No, I haven't. I never did know where he went to school.
Tell me about what life was like when you were growing up. Where could you go to do shopping?
Huh?
Where could you go to do your shopping?
Seneca. I was telling them the other day, if we went to Seneca, we thought we'd be going to the city. That's the only place. Now, there was a few little stores around, but there was most of the grocery stores, you see, down in Calhoun.
Now, which stores were those?
That was your grandfather's store, Mr. Smith's store, and the Boggs store. There used to be the Holdens, and I don't know who all, but the last of it was the Boggs store. Is that brick store standing there where your grandfather used to have it?
No, it's been torn down.
I just wondered the other day. You see, I haven't been around there in a long time. And I didn't know whether it was still there or not.
Who do you remember at the Boggs store before the Holdens?
No, I don't think I ran that store. Do you know? Oh, your grandmother had a brother named John Cochran.
Mm-hmm.
And he ran a brickyard. I don't know, I heard him, I know about he used to run a brickyard over there. And he built those two places. And I don't know, those two brick stoves, that was the only stoves there, you see.
Do you know where he had the brickyard?
No. It's out that old Central Road, they call it over there. There's apartments all down in there now, but it was over in that way somewhere. But I remember him talk about Mr. John Cochran's brickyard.
The days of general stores are now gone, pretty much. General stores pretty much do not exist anymore.
I don't know.
Tell me what it was like shopping in, say, my grandfather's store.
Well,
You
had to go in there and say, what you have? You had to tell him to put it in a bag and tie it up. But did you know you could buy lots of things? You could buy, somebody told me, but I never did do it, said this man took a half a dollar and bought sugar, flour, and different things like that in your grandfather's store.
When you went there, did you pay cash or charge?
No, you didn't have to. Back in time, they used to run accounts, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd pay them whenever they got the money, don't you see? And I bet you, because I wouldn't know, but I bet you now, if you see your grandfather's books, I bet he got some people on there now. Bills, you know, that hadn't been collected.
So there was no fixed time you had to pay?
Huh?
There was no fixed time you had to pay?
Yeah, pay it once a month. But they knew how it was with a lot of people. You know, they did it. I tell you, they survived.
Well, Well, you also told me that you remembered Mr. Morgan from the store.
Yes, I do. Well, he was in that, not in your grandfather's store, but he was in that store down below there. It's still there. I think they call it the Calhoun Corners now.
What was he like?
I don't remember how what he was, but I remember those Morgans. He had, when they were there. But
did he live there?
No, they lived in Seneca somewhere. I don't know where they lived, but they did live in Calhoun.
Do you remember him as an old man, or what age?
Oh.
Was he an old man when you remember him, or what age person was he?
Well, he was, when I remember, his two sons was what had it. I mean, and that was way back, but he was still boss, you know, but the sons was working now. And you know, it's funny to me how look like those things could have, but of course, I don't know. Look like to me they could have went into bigger things, but they didn't. Lots of them just went out of business, you see.
Where would you go to get mail?
Post office.
And where was that?
Right behind that store. There was a little post office behind that Boggs stole right behind there. There was a little post office. That's where we went to get mail. And stamps from first class mail was 2 cents. Postal cards was a penny.
A long time ago. And I bet they got where they were supposed to go, too. Who do you remember being in charge of the post office?
Huh?
Who do you remember being in charge of the post office?
No, I don't. The only people I remember before it went out of existence was somebody named Chapman. Mm-hmm. Old Miss Chapman was running the post office down there. But I don't remember who had it at first. And who was back in then.
So if you couldn't find what you wanted in Calhoun at those stores, you pretty much had to go to Seneca.
Yeah, oh, yes. They didn't have, you know, just fool things. I don't think the people did much shopping then. They didn't have any money, you see. And they just did. But if we wanted anything, you know, we had to go to Seneca, especially. I heard one of my sons tell, say he says, Father, walk to Seneca to get shoes for him. My son.
But did you walk to Seneca or take the train?
Oh, we could take the train. We miss the train so much. We could go on the train then.
Do you remember how much it cost to travel to Seneca?
No, I don't. I don't remember. Something like 20 cents or something like that.
So you could easily afford it?
Oh, yeah. Well, we... something like that. And we had... You could go on to Seneca on the train and come back on all of it, but all of that's done away with now.
Well, you also mentioned earlier the railroad tracks. I believe you have lived here and the railroad tracks have changed side of your house.
This right there, right mm-hmm. where the superhighway is. And that's why I love the trains, because I could see the train. Mm-hmm. It's right there. Where that superhighway is, that was a railroad track.
And you can probably hear everyone passing still.
Oh, and we used to go down and look at the trains. You see, stand on the banks to see the trains go by.
Was that part of your entertainment?
Yes, we loved it.
What else did you do as a child or your friends for entertainment?
Well, I don't remember much we did, but I tell you, it looked like to me we enjoyed it more than the children do now.
You had to make up your own games and entertainment?
Yes, we used to play games, you see. Mm-hmm. All kinds.
Like what?
Hide and seek and all. And when we had little parties, we'd have drop the hatches and all those kind of little things. And moving chairs. That's the only thing we knew.
Mm-hmm. What about movies?
Movies?
Yes.
Oh, we didn't have any movies at all. And we didn't have any movies until the college, you know. And then when they had the movies at the college, we couldn't go. Because that was for whites. We couldn't go to the movies. Till later, they say a coach came up and he brought a maid with him. And she didn't want to stay because there wasn't no movie. And they decided to let her go, but she had to go upstairs and the lock be locked up. Now, this seems like a fairy tale, but it's the truth. And it's really again the law to lock anybody in because in case of fire. But that's what they did. But now we can go in and we didn't have any movies.
I understand that one of the Clemson cadets about 60 or 80 years ago was dating a young woman in the black neighborhood. Do you remember that?
No. Well, I'm going to tell you, they did all kind of things like that. And that's why I don't just say, I think we have improved a whole lot, but plenty of those, how'd you find that? I don't know who it was or nothing, but anybody they could go with, that's exactly what. Mm-hmm. And they were just boys off of the farm, and they didn't, I don't know, they didn't know nothing. Now, that's the truth. And I don't want to go into all that disgrace for them. that's the way they were.
Well, I'm sure there were a lot of unpleasant sides to life.
Huh?
I'm sure there were a lot of unpleasant sides to life then.
Yeah, oh yes. Well, of course it was. Why, certainly. Why, sure. Well, it's all behind us.
In just a moment, I want to ask you more about your church. Tell us when Golden View started. You said you were a charter member.
I am a charter member, and I have the history. Since I don't see well, I can't keep up with my things. But I was a charter member of Golden View when we came to build a church. And there was about seven of us. And I was the only young girl. It went, I tell you, I had been working out among white people, and I had seen the difference in things that we needed. And then I had some white friends that would help me, teach me. There's a Presbyterian preacher and his wife. They just, I don't know, I said, I don't know what it was in me, but they just took an interest in me. And she taught me lots of things, the Bible and lots of things. But they're all gone. And we just needed a church. And when we got the church paid for when I told them, that when I stood there to tell them about, I said, if had we not had a church, I look at those young men there, what would have happened? Where would they have been had we not had a church? But we struggled and we got one.
Do you remember any of the other charter members?
Huh?
Do you remember any of the other charter members of your church?
No, not. I'm the only one living.
What were the names of some of the other people who were charter members?
Now I'm going to tell you. One man was named James Foster, mm-hmm. and Isaac and Phil Butler. They came out with us to help us build a church. But James Foster I can't remember who, but there was a few. And some fell by the way. I mean what I mean. Some went back to Abel, where we came out from. Mm-hmm. The rest of us stayed here, and that's why we have the church. And, and I am the only charter member living. And these
people that I told you about put the fountain there. He had a portrait of me he made, and it's hanging in the reception hall down there. As a child, and I'm the only one living, and I don't know why. I am.
Why did all of you leave Abel to start a new church?
Well, the first place, it was too full for the children to go, when these young people had children, to go to Sunday school, and they got talking about it. And there was another thing, our old minister, he was a member of a church in Seneca, and he used to do work, and he'd come over here and sit in our yard and do willow work, make willow chairs. I don't know whether you know what willow is or not. And he was a minister, and he said, well, who ever heard of a place this not having a church? So he helped us started that way, so that's where we went.